Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're here one more time. As the song says, one more time. He allowed us to come together one more time. We're thankful. We thank God. We're able to look into the word of the Lord one more time to say what thus saith the Lord, as the Lord himself said, it is written. And we're thankful for that. Amen. What a blessing it is to be able to do just that. Yes. So we thank God that we're on the air at this particular time. Amen. Yes. 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 Okay, so we're going to get into the word of the Lord in a minute here. Like the word of God, amen, that we're able to bring to you, that is, looking into the perfect law of liberty. And so we thank God for that. We're able to come. This is the last Sunday of the year that we're able to come on Blog Talk Radio. So we thank God for that. Amen. So we also would like to thank you for your prayers and your support. Truly, these last few months have been a trying time. Amen. We have seen the faithfulness of God, like I've said, week before last. Those of you that were listening, that I lost my wife. My wife passed away on December the 5th. She had been had a lengthy illness. So God saw fit to take her home. So we have to say yes to the will of God. So thank you for all your prayers and your support at this particular time. So we thank God. So this is your One God station. Amen. Thank God for the church, which is his body, and that's what we want to talk about on today. Amen. The body of Christ, not a building, not looking to people and all. We know that God has order. He is a God of order. We thank God that we have his word, amen, to look to. And so, like the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you, and the rule is the word of God. So the word is what has the rule over us, so we thank God for that. So we thank, we thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners, and also those of you that are on Twitter. We thank God for you. Also, those of you that are on Facebook, we thank God for you. All of our new listeners, we thank God for you. And as we endeavor to bring you what is dubbed the truth, and this is truth ministry. So we're thankful for that. And so also we would like for you to know, those of you, should you have a question or should you have a comment, you can feel free to call in. Our number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. Also, thank God for my brother, Elder Broderick Cannon. He also is on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. I think he may be off for a week or so, but his ministry is called That's Book. That's Book, and he comes on at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. So I think he may be off a week or two, but when he comes back, he comes on at 6 o'clock. Thursday evenings he's on. So we thank God today that this last broadcast for us, this particular ministry of the year, and here it is, the 28th of December in the year of 2011. So we thank God. Like the song says, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. So we want to move on into our lesson on today, and we just finished up the book of Galatians, and we really got some good things for you on, and we just want to whet your appetite mainly on today, because we may not get that far, but we in the book of Ephesians, and our subject on today is the mystery of the church. So we're talking about how we were predestinated, about God's purpose, about His will. And we trusted in Him, and He sealed us. Those are our tags. So the mystery of the church is what we want to talk about on today. So thank God that we have our historian in the house on today, in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. So without any further ado, we're going to give you into the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. As Elder Cannon said, we are going into the book of Ephesians, and this is once again a Pauline epistle. It was written about 64 A.D. It is the first of Paul's prison epistles. He wrote a number of epistles, I believe it was four or five, while he was in prison, and this is the first of those. It is said that this possibly was not really addressed to the Ephesians, but rather to the Laodicean church.
Yes.
But as tradition holds, and as the Bible is written, we hold every word that's in here. And in the Bible, in the King James Version, it says that it is addressed to the Ephesian church. So that's how we're going to hold it up as a letter to the Ephesians.
Yes.
This letter is in deep contrast to the previous letters that we spoke about. That we've been talking about being the Galatian letter and also the Corinthian letters, which those hold very basic doctrines, points of doctrine in their letters. They are what's known as the milk of the word. Paul is just reiterating stuff that he has already taught those churches back to them once again. They, for whatever the reason, did not hold to the faith as they should have, so he could not teach them as those that were learned in the word, but those that were unlearned and babes in Christ. So he had to feed them milk. But with the Ephesian letter, there's a lot of meat in this letter.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that he talks about that is not easily digested. Yeah, he talks about the mystery of the church. This is what we're going to be talking about, are discussing today in the first chapter. He talks about our place on how we were once sinners and how Jesus Christ came and broke down the partition between Gentile and Jew and let us draw nigh unto Him. that's going into the second and also into the third chapter. And as we go forth in the fourth, fifth, and sixth chapter, he talks about different mysteries also. In the fourth chapter, he talks about the oneness and endeavoring to keep the unity of the brethren through the oneness.
Yeah.
In the fifth chapter, he talks about the mystery of the husband and the wife and how it deals with Christ and the church. And in the sixth chapter, he speaks on the armor of God and what each piece of armor. So as we go further in this book, I think we'll take our time, as Elder Cannon always says. We're just going to take our time and go verse by verse because there's a lot of different subjects, a lot of different things that need to be dealt with when you're speaking about this book. This was a church that Paul raised himself. In the 19th chapter, he spoke to the 12 disciples that were baptized in John's baptism, and they had to be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and they received the Holy Ghost. They had never heard of the Holy Ghost before Paul came to them.
Yeah.
But they're also the church that when Paul came, he beckoned for them. I believe that's in the 20th chapter of Acts. So turn there real quick. He beckoned unto the elders from the Ephesian church and wanted to see them one last time before he went into Jerusalem, where he was to be tried and he was to be persecuted and martyred, so he thought.
Yeah.
In the 20th chapter of Acts, in verse number 16, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, for if it was possible for him to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So when he's speaking unto them, he has the understanding in his mind that he's never going to see them again, because once he goes into Jerusalem that they will go crazy once he goes in there, because he's been preaching a doctrine that is overthrowing all the traditions that they had been accustomed to.
Yeah.
And they did not want to let go of their traditions, but they were going to martyr Paul, and that's how Paul felt. And he loved this church so much that he wanted to leave something, one last thing with them before he left and leave his imprint on this church, because he loved them so.
Yeah.
I want to just read one more verse. It says in verse number 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. So by speaking unto the elders, he was in turn speaking unto the whole church, because the elders were supposed to take what he spoke unto them and take that unto the flock.
Yeah.
And then they were supposed to teach from there. Unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's very important to understand the role of these elders. They were the pastors of this church, the pastors of these congregations. They were overseers. They were not slave drivers. They were not there to fleece the sheep, but they were there to feed the sheep.
Yeah.
And feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. And he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So now he wanted to let them know that there's going to be trouble coming after me. There's going to, once I leave off of the scene, there are going to be those that I've been holding back at bay by my words, by my doctrine. They're going to come and they're going to try to overthrow your faith. And they're going to try to pervert your faith. But don't let this happen. He's giving them a warning.
Yeah.
Amen. And the warning still holds true today. There are men out there that are speaking perverse things. There are those out there that speak blasphemous things in their own names and want to label them as words of God. And Paul was warning them against this and that they should spare the flock and not let the wolves in. Amen?
Yeah.
The overseer, the ones that are holding the staff, the shepherds, should not allow the wolves in. But if the shepherds are asleep, then the flock shall not be spared. So we have to be aware. We have to be watching for those grievous wolves who try to enter into the flock and try to take us out and try to take away that which God has given us. Amen?
Yes. You know, I just want to say something that you hear people talking. A lot of people don't understand that we're in the last days. They get that mixed up with the, say, like the rapture of the church could take place at any time, but they're getting the rapture of the church mixed up with the end of the world. And that's why Jesus has said here in the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there should not be left here one stone upon another that should not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And a question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming, number one, and of the end of the world, number two? So that's what people get mixed up. They don't know the sign of his coming. He's talking about the rapture of the church. The end of the world is a totally different thing.
Amen.
That's not yet. So people getting that mixed up. And so to correlate right with what you're saying, the Apostle Paul was giving them warnings, because in the last days when he wrote his letter to Timothy, he said that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, you know, forbidden to marry and commanded to abstain from meats. So we thank God for his word. So scripture looks like we've always been taught. This is the truth when it's rightly divided.
Amen.
And scripture will support scripture. So it's going right along what
Amen.
You're saying.
Amen. And you always have to have a scripture that supports another
yeah.
scripture.
Yeah.
So as we move forward, we're going to get back into the book of Ephesians and look. And this is yet another warning. This is some jewels that Paul is leaving for his church that he was indeed a founder of at Ephesus. Also, let us note that Ephesus was a city that was wholly given over to idolatry. This is, if you look back in Acts, I believe it's the 19th chapter also, when Paul was in Ephesus, this is where the coppersmith, the man that made idols, tried to start a riot. In fact, he did start a riot, and because they were taking away from the money aspect that idol worship brought
yeah.
into that city. So this was a city that was wholly given over to idolatry. The goddess Diana was the chief goddess in that city. So this is a church that is surrounded by idolatry worship. And so we have to keep this in mind when Paul is speaking unto them also.
Yes.
So let's get right on into it. Starting at chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's very important to note this, heavenly places in Christ.
Yeah.
You can only be in heavenly places if you are in Christ.
Yeah.
We will get back to heavenly places and what exactly that means, because he has set us in heavenly places. He speaks on that later on in the book. But he has given us spiritual blessings. He has given all the members of the church, those who are faithful to him, he has given us spiritual blessings. And it says, according as he hath chosen us in him,
yeah,
before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He hath chosen us in him. Who has chosen us? He, the Father, has chosen us in him. Who's the him? Christ. Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, because God knew in his plan of time that there was going to be sin in this world, and that he was going to have a covering for that sin. He was going to have an atonement for that sin, and he chose us in him. There's a chosen people, a peculiar people, a people that is set aside for God. He has chosen us in him to be under the blood of the Lamb that he has chosen, that he has slain before the foundation of the world. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So before we were even made or formed in our mother's wombs, we were chosen in him.
Yes.
He knew all of us before we were ever formed in our mother's womb, because he was our creator. He created us. He thought of us before he even formed the earth.
Yes.
We were in the mind of God, the church.
Yes.
Those peculiar people are the chosen ecclesia, the church that he established. And we are established in that church. We are established under his blood. We are established in his spirit. We are established in his love. And he did all of this before the world was even formed.
Yeah.
He did this all before the world was even created. We were part of the first creation of God, because Jesus Christ was the creation of God, the first creation,
yeah,
of God, the body of Christ, and we are in the body of Christ. So the body of Christ was in the mind of God before the earth was formed, before it was there was dry land, before there were waters, before there were firmaments. We were in the mind of God.
Yes.
In eternity. So we are chosen in him that we should be presented holy unto him. There's going to be a time where we are going to be without spot or blemish. We are going to be presented to him as a bride, and he will be the bridegroom. Amen. So how is this all happening? It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So according to his will, he predestinated us.
Yeah.
How did he predestinate us, though? Because there's a doctrine out there that says that since he predestinated us, he chose you over your mother or over your father. He chose you over your brother or your sister. That's how special you are to him. Well, that is so, but why did he choose you? Why did he choose us in him? Why did he predestinate us to this end? Why did he predestinate us for this destiny? Well, let's go back to Acts. Acts, the second chapter, and go back to the first sermon laid out by the Apostle Peter after the Holy Ghost fell upon Then on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2, he says in verse number 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God." Jesus was the only man that was approved of God, totally approved, because he was a man that was without sin. Although he was in sinful flesh, he was formed in sinful flesh. He had no sin. He was above sin. That's why God chose him to be the chosen vessel for his spirit to dwell in for 33 and a half years.
Yeah.
He was approved of God. He had the stamp of approval by having the fullness of the spirit inside of him. As the Apostle John said, he was full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
That's how our opening goes, that he was full of grace and truth. He was full of the spirit of truth. He was full of the spirit of grace.
Yeah.
A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He did this right in the midst of all the brethren. He did this in the midst of everybody in the country of Israel, the countryside. He healed those that were poor. He healed those that were rich. He healed those that had all sorts and manners of diseases, all sorts and manners of afflictions. He healed them. He did all sorts of miracles, all sorts of signs, all sorts of wonders in everybody's sight. He didn't do all of these privately, these private meetings that some people may want to have,
right,
and so that they're healed. But these people were healed in public, and not only were they healed in public, but after they went into their own private places, they were still healed. Now, there's a lot of people that are performing miracles in churches nowadays that are performing these miracles, but they are placing people into the congregation,
right,
to show, to seem like they're having a miracle happen, to seem that they're having a miraculous healing happen,
mm-hmm,
but it's not really so. They're just planting people into the audience. That's
mm-hmm
a trick. It's a trick of the devil,
mm-hmm,
to get your money out of your pocket. That's not how God operates. God,
no.
If God wants you healed, he is going to heal you, and he's going to fully heal you. He doesn't just partially heal you.
Right, just like Apostle Paul said to King Agrippa when he was saying, believest the prophets to King Agrippa? Then he answered him. He said, I know you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But he went on to say, this thing was not done in a corner. So
amen.
God ain't doing no secret stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't operate
no
in secret like that. He showed public healings, amen? And
yeah,
and these people were really healed.
Yes.
So now, he did all these things in the midst of them, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands and crucified and slayed him. So now, according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge,
mm-hmm,
God foreknew the problem that man was going to have, that mankind was going
yeah
to have. So he made a solution to the problem before the problem even happened.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the solution to the problem before the problem even happened. He was predestinated. He was predetermined. This is all according to God's foreknowledge. God knew who was going to accept him. God knew who was going to show their faith in him. God knew who was not going to show their faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
God knew who was going to reject him. God knew all of these things before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
As I said, God knew each and every one of us. He knew every one of his creations. As the scripture says, he numbered the hairs on your head.
Mm-hmm.
He knew everything about you. Every particle that is within your body,
yeah,
God knows about. God knows about the cancer that is in your body. God knows about the diseases that are in your body. God knows about the hepatitis. God knows about the diabetes. God knows about all of these things that
yeah
are within you. You have to know that God knows these things. And Some he has destined for you to be healed. Some he has destined for you not to be healed.
Yeah.
But he knows all of these things before you even were created, before you were even formed. He knew you. He foreknew all of us, all of his creation.
Yeah.
Every single man. Amen. So he knew all of these things. This is how he used predestination for the church. He knew who would accept the gospel. He knew who would believe on the gospel. He knew who would receive the gospel. He knew who would reject the gospel.
Yeah.
He knew all of these things. This is why he predestinated those that are in the church, those that were a peculiar people, those that were part of the ecclesia, the called out people, that he knew them. This is why how he presented the gospel unto you at an appointed time. Everybody has an appointed time when the gospel is preached unto them. And they are to accept the gospel according to the knowledge that they have.
Yes.
Those who believe on God according to their dispensation, according to their dispensational truth, they would believe on God and follow after him according to their knowledge. He predestinated us.
Yes.
This is how he predestinated us unto the adoption of children, because we were not born in the house of God. We were not born in his household. We had to be grafted in. We had to be adopted in because we did not have citizen rights unto God. We fell out of that. Once the house of Adam fell into sin, we were all out of favor with God. We were all in a place that we were destined for death. We were all in a place that we were destined for the lake of fire. We were all in a place that we had were separated from God. When Adam ate of that tree, when Adam disobeyed God and fell out of favor with God, he destined all of us to be disobedient, children of disobedience.
Yes.
But thank God he knew this before the fall of Adam. He foreknew this and predestinated us that we should come across the atonement, that the atonement would be preached unto us, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension would be preached unto us, and we would believe.
Yes.
We were the remnant that God waited on. He was waiting on all of his people to be gathered so that he can gather us into the heavens, and that we could be a body of people that could be presented as a bride of Christ unto him. This is the theme. This is a major theme that goes along with this book. We will speak later about the bride of Christ as we go further in the book. We will also speak about the children of disobedience. We were once children of the devil. I know people don't want to hear that nowadays.
Right.
Everyone wants to call themselves a child of God, but we are not all children of God. There are children of the devil.
Yeah.
There are children of the wicked one. I want to say it's John, the 10th chapter. John, the 8th chapter?
Yeah, your father, the devil.
Yeah, is it John 8?
I believe it's the 8th chapter.
Let's go to John 8.
Talked about before Abraham was, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'd be Abraham's children.
And he plainly tells them that ye are not of Abraham.
Exactly.
Ye are of your father.
Yes.
I believe it's John, the 8th chapter. It's here we go, John 8 and verse, we'll start at verse number, verse number 41. Ye do the deeds of your father.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say unto him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. So they were disputing him here. They were saying they were children of God.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil,
mm-hmm.
and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now, who was the first son of the devil? Cain.
Mm-hmm.
Cain was a murderer from the beginning.
Yeah.
He murdered his brother Abel with no just regard. He had no reason, no justification to
right.
murder him whatsoever. He murdered him from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then told a lie.
Mm-hmm.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So if you are in a lie, you are of your father, the devil.
Yeah.
If you believe in a lie, if you wholly hold on to a lie rather than the truth, your father is not God, but your father is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I that's what the Bible tells me, and I'm going along with the Bible says, not with what man, what some man says. Amen?
Right, and we got to think of it as your spiritual father, not your natural father.
Amen.
Because when we're born again, our spirit is what's born again. That's what God communicates with, our spirit.
Amen.
We worship God in spirit.
Amen. And we have to realize that all of this application is going along with the spiritual.
Yeah.
There are three kingdoms which you can operate out of.
Yeah.
You can operate out of the kingdom of God. You can operate out of the kingdom of man. And you can operate out of the kingdom of the devil.
Yes.
Many of us are of the kingdom of everybody's of the kingdom of man in some form or fashion.
Right.
But you can also operate within the kingdom of the devil. You can also operate in the kingdom of God. You have to be chosen. And so when it says that we are translated into the kingdom of his dear son, we are translated, we are transformed
mm-hmm.
out of one house into another house.
Yeah.
We were in a house of condemnation. That is the house of Adam, a house that was condemned, a house that was doomed. But now we are in translated or moved from one house into another house, which is the house of life, the house of Jesus Christ, the house of eternal life, and we have eternal life within us.
Yeah.
So now, this is all going along with predestination, and it's according to his foreknowledge that he predestinates us unto the adoption of children, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted of God. If you are in him, if you are chosen in him, if you abide in him, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are accepted of God. You are an accepted son of God. He hears your voice. He hears your cry. He hears your trouble. As any father loves his sons, so does God love us as sons.
Yeah.
And just because we are adopted in does not negate the fact that he loves us just as much as anybody else who is naturally born of their father. This is how much he loved us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So now we have redemption through what? His blood.
Yeah.
Even the forgiveness of sins. So now we see that the forgiveness of sins is directly correlated with the blood of Jesus Christ and with our redemption. So you have to understand, how do you get the forgiveness of sins? How do you get the blood of Christ applied to your life? Let's go into Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Let's start at the 11th verse. It says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, even obtained eternal redemption for us. But now, we want to skip on down to, I believe it's the 22nd verse.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start the 20th verse. It says, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. He joined the testament through blood.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the testament took effect or took action. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So remission is directly correlated with blood. Remission means the removal.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do we have the forgiveness of sins, but we have the removal of sins also through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, that still doesn't quite show us how the blood is applied to our lives. Let's go now to the book of Acts. And we're going to start in Acts. Is it Acts the 4th chapter? No, it's Acts the 5th chapter. I'm sorry. It's Acts the 5th chapter and verse number
4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other.
Yeah, it's not the one I want,
though.
It's
mm-hmm.
verse number, he says that they want to put the blood of this man by his doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 28, chapter number 5,
mm-hmm.
verse number 28. It says, saying, did we not straitly command you? Now, this is the high council in Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
speaking unto the apostles. It says, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name?
Mm-hmm.
They were teaching in the name of Jesus
right.
Christ. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
What's the doctrine on? The name.
Mm-hmm.
And intend to bring this man's blood upon us.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see that the blood and the name are directly correlated.
Right.
By teaching in the name, you are preaching the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So now we see that the blood gives forgiveness of sins, the blood gives remission of sins, and the blood and the name is synonymous. When
yeah.
you're preaching the name, you're preaching the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, how are we supposed to preach the blood of Jesus Christ? Now let's go to Acts, the 2nd chapter, and then we'll go to the 4th chapter, 4 and 12.
Yes.
It says, in Acts 2, verse number 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. These are all the men that were in Jerusalem that were a part of the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
They were part of the ones that were crucified. They said, kill him. Kill him.
Right.
Free
mm-hmm.
Barabbas.
Yeah.
Kill
crucify
this man.
Him. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what they said.
They were all part of this because the mm-hmm. same Jews that were at the feast of the Passover and the Feast of the First Fruits, they were the same Jews that were here at the Feast of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were pricked in his heart. They repented in their heart. It says, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
We killed the one man that could have saved us.
Mm-hmm.
We killed our King of Glory. We killed the one that was sent for us. We killed the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you will receive the blood of Jesus Christ
yeah.
over your life. And what does the blood of Jesus Christ do? It says right here, for the remission of
sins.
He will take away your sins if you are baptized in his name,
mm-hmm.
if you believe on that name and are baptized in water in that name, submerged in water in that name. You have the blood of Jesus Christ over your life now.
Yeah.
You are now part of the bloodline. You are part of the family. You have identification. You have a name that will identify you as a son of God
yeah.
because you have the name of Jesus Christ on you. You have the blood of Jesus Christ on you, and you are a chosen vessel of God.
Mm-hmm.
and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We will look, let's go back into Ephesians and see what exactly the Holy Ghost is for us.
Mm-hmm.
If we look back in Ephesians, the first chapter, it says, let's skip on down. We'll come back to verse number 8. It says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Right.
We are now sealed in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He placed his seal upon us. We are now approved of God.
Yes.
He gave us his branding. Amen.
Right.
And which is the earnest,
yes,
of our inheritance. That word earnest means something like a down payment.
Yes.
It's just a smidgen of what we will receive. It is just a piece of what we are going to receive in glory.
Yes.
We have a piece of glory inside of us. So this is the earnest of our inheritance. This is just a piece of our inheritance,
yes,
until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We are purchased by God. We are purchased by his own blood. We read that in Acts the 20th chapter, that he purchased the church with his own blood. God did. Now, if Paul says that he purchased the church in his own blood, but Jesus Christ is the one that shed his blood, what does that make Jesus Christ?
He's
it makes
God.
Him God. Amen?
Yeah.
He,
yeah,
is the Father.
Yeah.
He's the Father in creation. He's the Son in redemption. He is the comforting spirit as the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So now we read what the blood of Jesus does for us is the forgiveness of sins. That's the baptism in his name. We read what the Holy Ghost does for us. That's the seal of his promise. That is the earnest of our inheritance. So now, but there's some very powerful verses that we skipped over. Now let's return unto the 8th verse,
yeah,
in the first chapter of Ephesians. It says, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence,
mm-hmm,
having made known unto us the mystery of his will. It was a mystery before,
mm-hmm,
but he made it known unto the church.
Yeah.
We know the will of God. The will of God is in these 66 books of judgment. The will, his will is in here. This, when somebody dies and they leave a will, it's to let the executors of that will know exactly where every possession that person had will go.
Yes.
And now we are in the will, we are part of the family, and through this will, the executors, the preachers, the ministers are able to distribute through the Spirit, distribute all of the possessions of God unto us, all the spiritual blessings that we are deserving of. Amen? But we are not deserving of according to our works. We are deserving of it according to his grace.
Yes. Yes.
He gave us grace to now worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth, even in him. When the time is fully come, when the time has expired, he will gather together all things that are of him in him.
Yeah.
And he will be all in all. He is going to gather together all of those that believed on him, all of those that worshipped him, all of those that were faithful unto him, all of those that he blessed. He is going to gather all of the things that are to be gathered together in him.
Yeah, and he's doing that all the time. He's not like right now, the candidates for the presidential election that's coming up in 2012. They're working on it.
Amen.
You know, they're working toward that goal. But God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's working all the time. He's working when we don't see it.
Amen. Amen. And it's all according to the plan. He laid out a plan.
Yes.
God laid out a plan when he was in eternity. He made a plan for time. He made a set amount of time. And there's to be 7 days within this period of time.
Yes.
Now, we can't think of 7 days as our 24-hour days,
right,
but they are 7 days according to God's time. God set himself a time period that he was going to operate with mankind in his in this world.
Yeah.
And once that time expires, he is going to take us out of time and into back into eternity. So we have to be conscious that we are not, although we are in temporal bodies that are constrained by time, we have an eternal God that will take us into eternity. We are not going to be bound by time any longer. At the time of the dispensation of the fullness of times, he will take us into eternity to be with him, because he is going to gather us together.
Yeah.
In whom ye have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is all according to his will. This is all according to what he wanted. He saw a need. He fulfilled that need. He saw what we needed. He fulfilled what we needed. He fulfills what is according to his will.
Yeah.
This is why we have to be cognizant of what the will says. We have to be cognizant. We have to be aware of what his will says, what his word says, because he spoke this word. He spoke it according to his will, according to his purpose. He purposed all of this. Amen?
Yeah.
We are, this book is a book of the generations of Adam. So everybody, Adam was created in the image of God. But Jesus Christ was the image. So Adam was created in the image of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
After the likeness. That word after means that we were not in the likeness. He did not make us in his likeness, but after the likeness. But we have something that the angels don't have. The angels are made in the likeness, but they are not made in the image. They just have the likeness. We are made in the image, and in the fullness of times, we are going to be made in the likeness also. He's going to give us glorious bodies. This corruption shall put on incorruption. this terrestrial shall put on celestial. He is going to appoint a time for us that we will be gathered together. Let's look back. We're going to read this one last scripture, and then we're going to... we're not going to be able to finish the first chapter today, but
no.
we'll pick it back up next week. Let's go back to Genesis, the fifth chapter, and see what the Bible really is. It's the will of God. It's the word of God.
Yes.
But it tells a story, and it's a story of one man and the fall of that man into the redemption of another man.
Yeah.
The first Adam and the last Adam. And those that are formed in the likeness of the last Adam. The fifth chapter, first verse, book of Genesis, it says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam."
Yeah.
When the woman first came out of Adam's side, she was not called Eve. Adam later named her Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But they were both called Adam because they were both made in the image of God. They both walked according to how God wanted. So when God taught man, he was teaching woman also.
Mm-hmm.
So in the day they were created. And so we see now that this is a book of the generations of Adam. So everybody from Adam unto Moses, when Moses came along, that is when the law was established. And then when Jesus Christ came on the scene, he was the last Adam. He was made in sinful flesh. But now we are not destined to stay in the house of Adam. We do not have to stay in that house of bondage. We do not have to stay in that house of destruction. But we can be born again out of that house into a new house. We can be born again into a new generation of Jesus Christ. It is the regeneration. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He will regenerate us into him. Amen. And we are now in his kingdom, in his image. We have a few more minutes, so we will just go ahead and continue on. We read verse number 12, 13, 14. Let's go into verse number 15. It's in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him."
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are asking for wisdom and revelation, but they're not asking for it in the knowledge of him.
Yeah.
You can only get the knowledge of him and the revelation of him if you are in him.
Yeah.
You have to be first in him, born into his body, in order to get a revelation on his body and to get a revelation about his body. So these are those that were born that, because every epistle was written unto the churches. Every epistle was written to congregations that were already established. This was not letters that were trying to get people saved. This is letters that were speaking to people that are already saved,
yeah,
that are already heard the gospel, and he is now teaching them doctrine. So Paul always gave thanks to them. He always made mention of them in his prayers. This is how much, this is again showing the love that Paul had for this ministry,
yeah,
that Paul had for this church, and that he wished that God would continue to bless this church in order to help them to grow in wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this worldly knowledge that many ministries have gone the way of in this day. People are looking after the wisdom of this world.
Yes.
They're looking for the wisdom of this world to solve their problems. They're looking for the wisdom of the federal banks to solve their problems, their debt problems, and to solve all of these economic issues that are going on. This is a major problem that's going on. But the economic issues, the economic woes are not going to solve your spiritual woes.
No.
They never will, amen? This is something that we have to know, that we do not have our blessings in the wisdom of this world, but our blessings lie within the wisdom of Jesus. So we have to be aware of this, and we have to know the will of God, and you can only know the will of God if you read the Word of God.
Yeah.
And if you can only read the Word of God if you rightly divide the Word of God,
yeah,
which is mean you have to study. You have to show yourself approved unto God. You have to rightly divide the scriptures, know the context of which scriptures are to be placed in, and follow after those scriptures according to his will. Up again next week, we will finish out the first chapter, get into the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. And on that note, we will depart. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up